Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave. Thanks for downloading the show. This podcast is about endurance running, marathoning, ultramarathoning, endurance running of all types, long distance running, pretty much anything to do with getting out there and doing the long run and everything in between. And what I do in the podcast, I try to make it fun. I haven't done a running episode in quite some time simply because it's just too hot outside to run and try to produce the show while I'm running. So I'm back here in the studio, which is my kitchen counter. This is a multi-topic show for this week. It's a bi-weekly podcast. I'm going to really try to stick to that and get a show out every other week. It's episode 136, and it's the week of August 19th, 2011. Welcome to the show. Really appreciate you downloading and coming along this week. Multi-topic this week. Going to be talking about how I finally got up to the 8-mile mark, which is very exciting because I was in a major, major rut. I'm going to talk about, I'll talk a little bit about how that was an example of me just refocusing my brain on going a little bit further each time as opposed to thinking about the distance and just trying to wrap my head around, you know, getting past the 5-mile mark. And some of this will make sense as I talk. I had the 20-plus-mile week, which was really important to me because I needed to get up. I needed to get over top the 20 miles for a couple weeks before I signed up for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which I've done, and I'll mention that here in a little bit. Also, going to talk about the running track over at the local YMCA that has a clear directional arrow telling you which way to run, and for some reason there are a couple people I saw that like to run the opposite way while other people are running. Haven't quite figured that one out, so I'll mention that just a little bit. Briefly hit on a coworker of mine who signed up for her half marathon, first half marathon, which I'm very pleased to hear and surprised a little bit. And then I'll mention how the Graveyard 100 registration has opened, and which has gives me till October or something where I need to make a decision if I'm going to do a 100K in March of 2012. So let's get on with the show. Training update, which is pretty much, I guess, the front end of the show here. Some notes I made earlier in the last week was that I'd finally gotten up to the 7-mile mark. I have eclipsed that. I got up to 8. The trouble I was having is that I was hitting a mini wall at the 3-mile mark each time. And one of the main reasons, if you're new to listen to the show or if you've just been listening to the last couple episodes, I had to put a lot of my training on hold because I just wasn't handling the humidity too well here in Central Virginia. And frankly, running wasn't fun. And if it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. I tried running at the Y, which I'll talk about here with those yahoos that were running the opposite direction on the indoor track. I just, wasn't enjoying it, and so I put a lot of it on hold. And as a result of that, I pretty much almost had to start from square one with my endurance. The reason it's not square one is because I could at least go out there and run a couple miles, but I wasn't able to really get past the 3-mile mark without just, having a lot of heart, a lot of trouble and just, gasping and wondering why I'm doing it. So I finally got past that, and that's really the bottom line when it comes to endurance running is adding a little bit each time. And sometimes we take it for granted, if you're a half marathoner or even a marathoner, that double-digit runs are a regular part of your training regimen. Well, think of it in terms of where you've lost that ability to get to the double digits and you kind of have to start over a little bit. That's kind of where I was. I was joking with Tom when I ran with him last time. He's the one that actually got me past the 7-mile mark when we were running together, and I was joking with him about burning up sugar stores, and then after that was over, I was just totally out of energy because my body just had not been going to the other fuel stores in the body, which is burning up everything real quick and quitting. But what has happened is my pace is slowed down significantly. And when I mean significantly, I'm talking from an average 10 minute mile to now to a 10:30 minute mile. And that's kind of what I'm starting to plateau at, lower plateau. And I'm not totally happy with that, but I'll take it. In the last couple of training runs I've had, which have been, I really just got back from 5 about an hour ago, did 5 yesterday, ran 23 miles last week, and I'm going to do 20 this week, and then I'll probably do 15 going into the half marathon next weekend, Patrick Henry half. My pace has been a lot slower, and I think that was my train of thought, and that's really just the way it's going to go, and I'm enjoying it again. And if that's the way it's going to be, then that's just the way it's going to be. I can work on getting faster as I'm able to put more miles down. But I decided not to start back with running faster because it just wasn't going to happen in the heat. And we finally have broken away from the triple digits here. That's what happens when you're an amateur podcaster. Your phone rings and it's something that you have to take care of. So anyway, I've lost my total train of thought at this point. That's part of the podcast is that it's an unscripted, just some minor notes here. But what I did is I finally got past the hour mark with my training. And for some reason, there's a huge difference with me from 5 to 6 miles. Generally speaking, 5 miles takes me 50 to 52 to 53 minutes to run. And I like to run with my dog. So we stop and whatever. For some reason, getting past the hour mark is just a real big thing for my confidence and feeling like I'm back or whatever. This past weekend, Saturday, I did 8 miles. Felt great. Thankfully, I was able to get out there and get that. It took me a little bit. I did a little run walk because it's so hot. It's so hard to maintain, without stopping or getting a little bit negative. So I do the run walk. More running than walking in order to stay positive with what I'm trying to do. But for some reason, that's just a huge thing. Getting past that's six miles, hour, whatever. That's what I look at as a major threshold for me. And I feel like once I get past that, then I can keep going. Now, I've got a 10-miler plan for tomorrow, which is Thursday the 18th. And because I'm going to be out of town, I'm not gonna be out of town, but I'm not gonna be able to train this weekend because I got something going on that I just won't have the time to get up and go run it. So I'm actually gonna do 5:5:10 and compress all the miles for my week in 3 days, which generally is something I don't do. But I'm kind of cramming, how you used to stay up late in college or high school cramming for a test. I'm cramming my miles in for the half marathon because now that I've signed up for it, Indianapolis 10-miler, and it's not something I would advise anybody else to do. I increased my mileage way more than the 10%, whatever. But I've got more experience now, and I don't need to stay real strict to the 10% rule. And I think I'm going to be okay. I mean, I'll struggle. That's the whole point. But I want to. I've done every Patrick Henry half marathon. This is the 5th one. I got to do that one. Now, I got to be real honest with myself and all the listeners out there. I had a very difficult time getting motivated to run again. I don't know what it was. I had this Annapolis 10-miler goal to run with a friend of mine, which is on August 28th, and that's been a goal for 2 months now. I knew that was coming. But being honest is that a 10-mile race is not something that really excited me to the point where I was going to get out there and train really hard. I knew I could get up to 5 miles to 8 and make the 10-miler, and I know that kind of sounds a little arrogant. It's only because of my running background over the last 6 years or 5 years when I really started doing the long stuff. And, that's kind of where I've gotten to the point. But I had a real hard time getting motivated again to get out there and get going past 3 miles. I know you might be able to tell now, I'm still on my runner's high a little bit, even from my 5-miler today, because it was kind of easy. Finally, it was easy to get out there and knock out 5 miles. and not be hurting, not be, you know, and feel good about it, feel like I got a good workout in and be positive about it. And it's taken me a while to get to that point. I've been really busy with work, and that's been an excuse at times. We had stuff going on the weekends because it's summer, and that's been an excuse at times. And I keep thinking, oh, I can, you know, I'll train beginning of August. I'll get the miles in so I can do the half marathon. Well, now here it is 2 weeks, I guess it's a week and a half before the half marathon, and I've got enough confidence going into it where I think I'm going to be able to finish and get the medal. So, I mean, I'm not going to win, obviously. Won't come in last place, obviously, but I'll be able to at least be out there and be one of the participants. So anyway, for I don't know how it is for you as a runner, but for some reason the 6 mile mark is kind of like the springboard into hitting up those upper single digits, and then finally getting to the double digit mark. And to me, once you get to double digits, you know, really you need to start thinking about the marathon mark, because you're halfway there, regardless of the temperature. But so it actually leads me into thinking about something that I'd written in my notes here that I was going to talk about at the end. But so does that mean I should consider the Richmond Half Marathon, which is going to be in November? I don't know. I mean, that's more money to spend. I've never run the Richmond Half, done the full twice, but I'm not interested in ramping up my mileage for a full marathon by November, because I don't want to train any more in this heat any more than I have to. I don't know. I'm kind of going around and around a little bit, and I know probably some of what I already said is contradictory. Not sure. I guess I'll find out once I go back and edit the show. So anyway, I'm really into the run-walk interval stuff, and some of you out there might not be. I know Cindy is, and I'll mention one of her emails at the end of the show in the email bag section of the show. She's really into that. It's the Galloway method. Call it what you want. 4-1, 8-2, 5-5. You know, do whatever you got to do to cover the mileage and you know, meet your goals. It doesn't really matter how you do it. I like doing it because it allows me to maintain a positive approach after the first few minutes of running, which really is the hardest, you know, isn't that the hardest part of getting out there, is those first few minutes? But perhaps the second hardest part is, you know, keep going once you've broken a good sweat and you wonder, why am I out here? You know, why am I out here doing this 4 mile or 5 mile training run? You know, how much is it really going to matter in the whole scheme of things? Well, you know, that 5 mile training run gets you to the 8 mile training run later in the week. You know, it prepares your body. It gets your body used to, just like your body gets used to waking up at 5 in the morning. Say you get up at 5 in the morning, you set your alarm a few times, you set your alarm for 6 months at 5 in the morning, your body's going to start waking up at 5 in the morning on its own. I mean, it's the same way. You don't have to run 5 miles every day for 6 months, but it's the same principle. Your body gets used to having that workout or that mileage, and then you can add more because it's already used to that, and it's not a hardship. So I am obviously very pleased with where I'm at now. Maybe just two podcast episodes ago, I was struggling and having some major motivational problems and really wondering if I was going to be able to get back, feeling sluggish. I've gained some weight from being kind of not a couch potato, but just not being as active and burning as many calories, you know, with these multi-hour runs on the weekends. So my whole experience here over the last couple weeks has been, just for me personally, has been a real good example of that, something I'm going to be able to draw on in future difficult situations, of how I was just focusing on going a little bit farther each time and having that good training run day. And one thing that has helped me is that I've taken my dog along with me, Blue, and he's a 2.5-year-old yellow lab mix, be 3 on Halloween, and he's a great running partner because he doesn't complain and he doesn't, you know, he pants a whole lot, but he's, you know, you're not running ahead of him. He stays right with you. You know, he doesn't say much, but he is a good running partner, and I think that's helped me. And I will say that there's really nothing better than watching a dog running off leash, you know, just running free. There's a couple sections around town we're able to do that, and it's just really a cool thing when you can let the dog off and the dog runs with his hind legs kind of coming over the top of his head. It's really fun to watch. So I'm pretty excited about eclipsing the 20-mile mark for the week. That's total mileage. It's been a while. You know, I'm comparing that to the fifth when I ran over 50 miles a couple weeks in a row back when I was training for the 50-mile ultra. it seems that seems like so long ago, but the you know, eclipsing 20 miles for a week in training is exciting, and it's got me really looking forward to what's coming up in the near future. Okay, a couple things to hit on here before we get to the email bag section of the show, which is short, only have a few, but it'll round out the show. YMCA, indoor track over, we have a YMCA here in the town that's had some renovations, and previously the Y had two different locations. One was the swimming pool, indoor pool, with some of the programming, and then there was another section that was the free weights, the machines, and all the classes. And they've been combined now into one place where the pool is. I mean, major additions, gym, basketball court. Man, it's huge. It really is. And I was a little surprised that the indoor track, which is upstairs of the gym, the perimeter of the upstairs of the basketball gym, was not bigger than just a 16th of a mile oval. Now, the sign says 16 laps equals approximately 1 mile. Now, my question is that if someone was to engineer an indoor track, wouldn't they know exactly the distance? You know, I mean, exactly. There has to be an exact distance of the track, the middle lane. I mean, it just has to be. So I guess if you run 16 laps, it's approximately 1 mile, and you know, running 16 laps is hard to keep up with. And anyway, I've run on it. And on some of the real hot days, I went over and did a little bit on the treadmill, a little bit on the indoor track. And for some reason, there's people that run the opposite direction. So they're running clockwise. Counterclockwise is generally the direction around a track. They were running clockwise, and they would switch. And they would run in the same lane that I was running in. And it was totally bizarre. And I don't know. I don't understand that. I know that if you were to run probably 1,000 laps on such tight corners, you might have some ankle problems, but certainly not running for 10 minutes. And, you know, especially when there's a sign that says which direction to go. And the biggest thing that surprised me was that there are YMCA fitness leaders, you know, that walk around and spot people and you know, mingle and chit-chat and whatever. They weren't even saying anything. So I think what I'll do is I will fill out a suggestion card. If it happens again, fill out a suggestion card and with the request for them to enforce the rules about which direction to run around the track, because it's not wide enough to have that kind of foolishness going on. Okay, friend at work, a colleague at work, has signed up for her first half marathon, the Richmond Half Marathon. And I can't say, I have to say that I'm pretty excited about that. This is a person who's run, I think, 2 or 3 10Ks. Not totally into running, but I think is interested in the whole idea of the endurance part of it. So I'm very excited to see her progress. I was very surprised when I heard that she signed up for a half marathon, because I did not know that she was interested in running that far. Because that's really it's kind of a whole different way of training. It's a lot longer than training for a 10K, but I'm very excited to see her progress, and hopefully I'll be able to put a name to that person at some point in future shows, if I get clearance for that. We'll have to see. And the Graveyard 100 registration has opened. That is the Graveyard 100 Mile Ultra and 100K Ultra in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. That's set for March 10th of 2012. It's a road ultra on Route 12, which is the beach road that goes through the Outer Banks of North Carolina from Corolla to Ocracoke Island, or the Ocracoke Ferry. I guess it's going to finish up in Cape Hatteras. Now, I'm interested in the 100K option in this race, which is 62 miles approximately. Now, Brandon, the race director, has added that, and I was looking at the website. I got an email that the registration had opened, and it's $150, and that's through October. So I have some time to make a decision. The 100K starts at 4 p.m., so that makes for some interesting logistics, running from sunset to sunrise, which is something I've never done before. So if I was to sign up and register for this race, that's something I would definitely have to, I mean, not replicate that, but run you know, pretty much run past sundown, sunset into the evening and past midnight would be a good way to work on that for some long runs. You know, if you have a crew, that makes for an interesting all-nighter for your crew, which is something I hadn't thought of. For some reason, I thought he would start the 100K at the same time as the 100 milers, and, you know, you finish when you finish. But he's going to start them at 4 p.m., which means, okay, I could probably cover 50 miles in, you know, let's say 12 hours, which is about what I've done before. So that puts me to 4 a.m., and then let's see, another 12 miles, you know, what's that, 2 hours under normal conditions. So let's say 4 hours. So that would be 4 a.m. plus 4, 8 a.m. So you'd definitely be running well into the morning. I don't know. That's something I need to think about. It certainly would be interesting. Only thing being that do you really want to run for that long in the dark with the ocean just 100 yards to your left if the whole point of running the Outer Banks Ultra is to be by the ocean? I'll have to give that some thought. So anyway, registration for the Graveyard 100 is open. That's March 10th, 2012. And it looks to be an interesting event, first time. And even if I don't sign up for that, I might even find myself down there somehow helping out, because I just like the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's a barrier island. It's pretty cool. Been going down there for years and years and years, and I think it's cool that there's an ultra down there. There's another ultra that I've talked about in previous podcasts that's a 50K, but that's on the beach, and that doesn't interest me as much as a road ultra. All right, well, let's transition over to the email bag section of the show. And let's see who's checked in this week, and that'll bring up some other topics of conversation based on the emails. I heard from Cindy over at the runwithme-cindy.blogspot.com blog, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. You ought to check that out. Cindy is a longtime listener of the show, and Cindy, I really do appreciate that. It was really nice to hear from you. She's training for her second marathon and had looked for some advice on how to handle a 23-mile training run that was coming up. She's following the Galloway plan. First part of her email addressed episode 134, which was about the lack of respect that I feel that 4 to 5 hour marathoners get in running publications. You know, it seems that most running publications kind of gear towards people that run, you know, sub 330. You don't see a whole lot of bylines of people who write articles that run over 4 hours. And so I guess if, you know, you get more credibility as a writer if you run under 3:30 or under 3 hours or somewhere between that. I don't know. Maybe that's why this is the medium that I go for, the podcast, which is free and you know, everybody can listen to it, and there's no conditions set for that whatsoever. Anyway, Cindy is trained for her second marathon, as mentioned, and she had inquired about how to do a 23-mile training run, and because apparently she can't really run close to her house due to whatever factors, and I had given her some suggestions. One of them was doing loops from your house and coming back to the house and having all your aid, but keeping it outside the house. Her worry was that if she went inside, got comfortable, she wouldn't want to go back out again. I personally think the key to running 20 plus miles around your house, if you're going to do a loop, if you don't want to take all your stuff with you or drive out in the car before you run and drop stuff, is to keep everything in an area outside your house that you can access and where you'll only go inside to go to the bathroom or to get cold water or if you need something else. But keep all your aid outside, and that way you access it while you're outside. You don't go in, you know, you might even put it on the front porch or back porch or side porch, somewhere where you're not going to go in the house and want to retreat from your training and stay in the outdoor environment. I thought that was a good idea. Another was just to do a point-to-point, get dropped off and come back to your house and have whoever's dropping you off leave stuff along the way. And I think I gave a third option of if you're lucky enough to have a running partner or a spouse that will meet you out at certain places. That certainly is a good way to go about it also. 23 miles is a long way, Cindy. I wish you the best on getting that training run wrapped up, and hopefully some of the ideas that I had might help you. You can maybe combine those or you can piggyback on those and come up with something that'll help with you. Cindy mentioned that sometimes she gets a little behind on the episodes, and she says she's saving the latest one for the 23-miler. And that right there pretty much is the highest compliment I can get, is that somebody is actually saving my podcast to listen to while they're out on a long run. And as a podcaster, that really makes me feel good. So, Cindy, thanks for mentioning that. That was really nice of you to say. And check out her blog at runwithme-cindy.blogspot.com. Again, I'll put that in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. She's got a pretty cool blog. Cindy is an ordinary runner like the rest of us, just trying to get out there and accomplish some things and have some fun while she's doing it. And matter of fact, I think Cindy was actually a run group leader for several women up in the New England area. So good to hear from you, Cindy, as always. And I think you are one of the original listeners from way back to episode, single digit episodes. Heard from David. David is part of the National Guard, and he's actually, I've mentioned this before, but he's the other Dave, which is why I was called Ashland Dave. When I did my first half marathon training program several years back, Dave was on that team, and that's where I first met him. And he actually commented on my trip out to Chesapeake, because he was coming back from drill, his National Guard drill, in that same crappy traffic, so he definitely knew what I was going through. Anyway, he's hoping that I signed up for that Patrick Henry half. So Dave, I sure have. He's expecting attendance to be lower this year because the local group that's putting on that race, which is Sports Backers, didn't really promote the training team as much, and they seem to be backing the Richmond Half Marathon and Marathon whole event, which is a total Richmond Sports Backers event. So we're hoping we still have the same amount of people come out. I wouldn't be so upset if the race got a little bit smaller, because it is a pretty big race. It's well over, I think it's about 1,500 runners, if I'm not mistaken, which is a lot for a half marathon, well, at least from my perspective. Anyway, we'll see how it goes, Dave. Hope to see you out there. And you know, if I see you, I'll definitely come over and talk to you. And he had invited me to a group run, a 12 miler. Let's see, I guess that was last weekend. But Dave, as you know, I had to skip that and my mileage wasn't quite ready for that. But anyway, good to hear from you. I know you're a regular listener, and it's always good to hear from you. Appreciate you taking the time to send the email. Also heard from Christina over at Lazy Bones Running blog. And she and Adam are friends down in Arizona. And she did the Crater Rim run out in Oregon, which is a 13-miler, which she said was really, really hard. And I'm going to link to her blog in my show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com, because you got to see some of the pictures that she took. It's simply gorgeous scenery out there. It's definitely in Oregon. It's nothing like we have in Virginia, because we don't have mountains coming out of a lake. Well, in some ways, but not as high. I mean, we have some gorgeous scenery in the Shenandoah Valley on the Blue Ridge Parkway, but some of the pictures that she took that she's got on her blog are very, very nice. So I'd encourage you to check that out. And Christina, it's always good to hear from you. We usually have a regular dialogue going, and I know we're going to cross paths one day and get to meet. And you and Adam, too. Adam over at the boringrunner.com blog, his sense of humor is just right on time. You got to check that out. I'll link to that, too, in the show notes. If you want to check that out, it's pretty darn funny. It really is. And also heard from Rich out of Virginia Beach, who commented on the website, which you can do at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want. And he's a big proponent of the Daily Mile. He's in part of Dr. Smitty's running group down in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. And got a chance to talk to him at Greg's 40th birthday party when I went down there for that. That's Dr. Smitty. And he really, you know, he's met this group through the Daily Mile. They meet up once a month, you know, very similar to the group that I communicate, I guess, virtually with, Team Incognito. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, sharing ideas, sharing the love of the sport, and motivating each other when you're down. And that's really the essence of endurance running. Very few people can do it totally on their own. Most people need some type of input from others to either rationalize what they're doing or to make it seem like they're not insane. But Rich got that right, and I had a chance to talk to him down there, and he's a new listener to the show. Hopefully he'll come back for multiple episodes. So Rich, always good to hear from you, and I appreciate you taking the time to make the comments on the site. Now, there's a couple of different ways to communicate with me. You can send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, or you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and comment on under each podcast post. And that's not something most people normally do. It seems like more people email. But if you comment on the website, then other people can see what you posted, and because it gets spammed, I have to monitor those, and I always try to approve them as soon as I get the email notifying me that they're there. But there's another way also, that's through the iTunes comment feature. I got my podcast on iTunes, and what that does, that helps other people who are looking for running podcasts read those comments, if it's positive. I mean, you can put negative stuff up there. I don't have any control over iTunes. I can, if you put up a negative comment on the Podbean site, I can take that down, but nothing negative on iTunes I can do anything with, although iTunes probably monitors it, I would think. But what that does is that gives other runners who are looking for a podcast for inspiration or anything having to do with running, and I'm always complimented if anybody ever thinks that my podcast has anything to do with inspiring them. That's always very, you know, complimentary to me. But what it does, it allows other people who are getting into the listening to podcasts, it allows them to look at those reviews and see if it's something they think they might want to listen to. So if you have something to say about the show that you think other people would benefit from, definitely put that on iTunes if you have access to iTunes. And you might hear Blue in the background. He's got a little squeeze toy. He's very excited right now. We got a guinea pig in the house now. So he's got all kinds of things going on. And he's a funny little dog. So anyway, that's the show for this week. There'll be another show out in 2 weeks. All right, Blue, that's enough. And as always, I really do thank you for listening. Podcast is a fun thing to do, to share my thoughts about distance running, and I get lots and lots of ideas from other people, and in the email I had with Christina, we talked a little bit about unsolicited advice, and I told her that I don't normally give unsolicited advice to people because I don't always care for it myself, and I guess because most of the unsolicited advice I've always got has always been kind of critical. But she says she likes it because she called herself a peon. Well, Christian, you're anything but a peon, that's for sure. You're out there doing races all the time. And I know you got that Ragnar relay coming up down in the Florida Keys that you mentioned in your email. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that, and I look forward to some of those emails. All right, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.